Hey, listeners, Brendan here. Glad you can make it with us to 2022. The Swapcast is still on hiatus, but next episode, Paul, Lucy, and I will return to our regularly scheduled programming. This week, however, I'll be sharing one of my favorite episodes, which is Every Day. This one is based on the novel of the prolific young adult writer, David Levithan. While like Every Day isn't a perfect movie, I chose this episode because it's one of those rare moments where the movie that we watch is actually breaking some interesting ground in the body swap genre. I think it has a lot to unpack, and we had a great time doing it. Once again, thank you to all our subscribers for sticking around all these years. I genuinely love that I get to hang out with Paul and Lucy, and you continue to listen to us. So, thank you for that. Paul will kick me if I forget to remind you. Rate us on Spotify or on Apple. And hey, if you're on a social media of some kind, share us your favorite episode and tag us in it. Like, we'd seriously love to know what you think of our episodes. And word of mouth is like one of the best ways to support us in 2022. So anyway, sit back and enjoy Every Day.
We're talking again.
Body swapping, two boy, two boy, two white,
and back again.
Welcome to Swapcast. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
Every episode, we watch a film in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week, we are watching the 2018 drama Every Day, starring N'Gori Rice, Justice Smith, and Debbie Ryan. The IMDb plot synopsis states, a 16-year-old girl falls in love with a mysterious soul named A, who inhabits a different body every day. Rhiannon and A work every day to find each other, not knowing what or who the next day will bring. So, last week was my first edit. What did you guys think of the episode, guys? Did I do an okay job?
Top notch.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
But what do you guys think at home?
Because this is what people listen for, the editing quality of our podcast.
Send your criticisms to
well, all I want to know is if everyone appreciated all the Hilary Duff clips I know.
Yeah. How many did you sneak in there in the end? Four?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have made the joke, Brendan, because now he did it.
Yeah. The swapcastpodcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, so make sure you mention Hillary like a couple of times this episode so I have an excuse to put some more in this one.
All right, Brendan, no Hillary Duff mentions.
Can't wait till assignments are over.
Any body swap related shenanigans this week for you guys?
No.
No, they're not real.
Well,
guess, wait, oh, you I got one. Oh.
I did watch Maniac.
Yeah.
Which we were talking about the other day.
And you heard the speech you made.
What did you think of that series?
I'm still six episodes in.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying it, though.
Have you finished it?
Yeah. Finished all the episodes last night.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It's really good.
Mm. I find I'm a really slow binge watcher compared to everyone else. Like, everyone's like, in
really
a week,
surprising.
Everyone's knocked out all the episodes and I'm always lagging behind.
That's because you're watching multiple shows at once. You just watch one at a time. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
This week's been the Adelaide Film Festival, so I've watched a few films. That's pretty much what I'm doing, like, every night for the next week. One of the films I saw was Lean on Pete, which starred the Cobbler's Steve Buscemi.
You can't preface him with that. He is not the Cobbler's Steve Buscemi. But any other film that he's done, you can put that first.
On this podcast, he's the Cobbler's Steve Buscemi.
Right. Shit.
So if any of you were unfortunate enough to watch The Cobbler, maybe so that you could follow along with our episode, if you want something to wash that taste out your mouth, I would recommend Lean on Pete. It's a very good movie, really emotional.
I think if anyone watched it from this podcast, they're not listening anymore.
Yeah, they're like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Dad says spinach has antioxidants.
You know what else has antioxidants?
Your balls.
All right, so this week we watched Every Day, a film that we were actually going to watch earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to get released in Australian theatres, and then the week of, the distributor just cancelled the release. And I'm guessing it's because it did so poorly in the American box office.
Not a high hitter?
No. The film cost $4.9 million to make and it made $6 million. So I guess technically in profit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it would, like, such a cheap movie to make as well. It's not going to be like this giant disaster, but it was enough for them to go, Australia doesn't need to see this in cinemas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But anyway, the long introduction to my question for this week. Did this film deserve to be pulled from Australian cinemas? Or is this a film that should have got a release and a chance to connect with young audiences in a big way?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think I'm really conflicted.
Yeah, same.
Like, I don't know, I think it was actually had some really good lessons. There were some really interesting, like, ideas being explored about, like, you know, body and gender and all that sort of stuff and some tough lessons. But also, like, it was a bit cringy and cliche, but I don't know. It's
I feel like
teenagers.
It kind of, like, oscillated between, like, it had some really lame moments and then some other times I was like, oh, I really like this and I really like this premise. And so I feel like it just wasn't fully realized. So it wasn't a home run for me.
I enjoyed the movie overall.
Yeah,
I didn't
same.
Think it was a great movie. I think it had the potential to be a great movie. I'm not sure why they held back. I mean, you're making such a low budget movie and you're making it for teen audiences, why not just make it a bit edgier and lean into the parts of the concept that are more interesting?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they wanted to give it like a Looking for Ella Brandy feel where it's like, you know, it's sort of got some element. Like, I just feel like that's a movie you go, oh, we are allowed to play that in high school and we can get a conversation and a dialogue around things, you know?
Funnily enough, when we've talked about this movie and we said we were going to do it, I thought from the plot that it wasn't going to be based around people that young. Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, a film for adults because it was teenagers. I feel like it should have, they could have gone somewhere different with the ending, and that's what I thought they were going to do.
I think that the rules that they set down for the main entity that this thing is, were all very much set up in a way to make a romance convenient. Like, all the rules are put in, so it could be the same age, it stays in the same area.
I am someone who wakes up in a different body every day. Always someone my age, never too far from the last, never the same person twice, and I have absolutely no control over any of it.
I have so many, like, I got most notes I've ever written here, and they're all about A.
Which isn't even two pages, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I'm being shamed for my notes.
What do you like at uni?
Sorry?
What do you like at uni? Big note taker?
I'm a big, watch the lectures online. Exactly.
Out of all the films we've watched, it might not be the most successful, but I think it's the most interesting reason
idea?
For swaps.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I think it's the first film we've watched that's really tried to explore kind of themes to do with the swap in terms of gender identity and who you're attracted to in an interesting way.
Yeah.
I did write something that there was lots of subliminal messages of tolerance, which were they trying to be?
I don't know if it was subliminal or superliminal.
Well, were they trying to be really woke and to push that agenda?
Definitely. Yeah. Like, you know, just little bits where, you know, when Rihanna runs.
No, her name's Rhiannon.
It's Rhiannon.
She literally has a speech about this. She's like,
no,
I hate
calls
my
her
name.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
I'm Rhiannon.
It's a lovely name.
Oh, thank you. I don't like it.
Why?
Well, everyone thinks it's Rihanna, as in bitch better have my money. Also, no one can spell it.
And they wanted to be, like, as cool as, you know, Riri. fell right into it, Brendan.
You know my first crush? Her name was Rhiannon. Hi.
And you couldn't even get her name right.
When A is in the body of a person who's obviously transitioned, and then
Rhiannon misgenders the person.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
And he's like, actually, I'm a dude. Yeah.
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 So, well, and there's the point where Rhiannon's on the dock with A and she asks him, so do you see yourself as a man or a woman? And A responds, yes.
Yeah. So that's what I said. There's, you know, it's all about how we're all the same and gender is a construct. Polyamory was like thrown in there as the mix, and sexual preference, and, you know, obviously the A sometimes was different races, and that was like, just...
And different sizes. Yeah. And I think this film has a bit of have your cake and eat it too, in terms of, yes, it's speaking all about this tolerance and doesn't matter what body that A is in. She loves the soul of A, but we never really see her have any sexual or like any affection when A is not in a sexy
male body.
Yeah, I don't think it went far enough. You got this concept, show us making out, having sex with the girls.
No,
and
that,
the guys.
And that's just, I wrote down that they, you know, they did only one same-sex kiss.
Yeah.
And it just would have been really queer-baity if they did do that every time, I felt.
Yeah, but A itself says, I'm half of the time, I'm a woman.
Mm.
So it seems kind of a cop-out
that every time, half of
this film wasn't her hanging out with her as a woman.
But I think it's fair to say, though, that they don't necessarily have to show her always being in an intimate way sexually when A's in a female body.
Yeah.
Because
Rihanna
still has, like, you know, like her agency as far as I use the word agency. I sound like an asshole. but if she's not sexually attracted to women, like, that's still okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I just feel like it's such a cheap shot because I feel like so many dudes want to see two girls kiss for their own gratification, not because it's like these two girls that love each other. Like, girls do that in high school for the attention of boys.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it just would have been not very too heartfelt. It would have been for the male gaze.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the gays. Like, if it was two boys, I would prefer that.
I think it would all depend on how the film was directed.
Mm.
Like, I think there's a way of showing two attractive girls kissing that doesn't feel like a perv move.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the fact that it was directed by a man would maybe sway that a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's so great that we're watching a film where these subjects are even in there.
Yeah.
And like these themes are even in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're at the time now where it's kind of in the halfway stage between feeling progressive and feeling like something else.
But do you mean
I think
society or this film? Yeah, okay.
But I think if this film was released 10 years ago, it would have been a controversial mind blower. Like,
yeah. And they probably would have put heaps of same-sex kisses in it.
Or just made it that he never goes into a girl. It would have been one or the other.
Yeah.
Because it could have easily been written that way. Like, there's no reason why the film couldn't have been written and A always swaps with other guys. Like, you could see that as being a valid choice to write it.
Yeah,
they had enough bullshit rules where he flies to a certain distance and that's where he is swapping from, and 12 o'clock apparently seems to be this arbitrary time when this happens, even though he changes time zones and stuff, it's still always 12 o'clock.
Ooh, layers.
And he can also choose to stay in the body if he tries really hard.
Really, really hard.
Which is something that A just figured out.
Oh, I hated that scene.
Like, it's like, I guess I could try. I was like, oh, why didn't you try to do that before? And also, you know the way we say that they're all always the same age? It's like this entity is still growing up.
Yeah.
So they're still aging. You know, they're not stuck in a 16-year-old's body all the time. I feel like we didn't explain that.
Like, that's another thing. So you stay the same age, but, I mean, these people you're swapping with don't have the exact same birthday with you. So what class is the same age?
Yeah, yeah.
Same.
It's just the same age.
It's around
like
the ballpark.
The
it's like
you would tick. Yeah.
It's like the vicinity of where he swaps is
age,
like,
adjacent.
Yeah, he's got an age bracket that he jumps into.
Go.
Yeah, it's all, like you said, all driving the romance of the story.
Yeah.
So it's not creepy. Like, until I realized that he was the same age as the characters he was getting into, the whole film had this real, like, tense, like, is this some weird ageless being who's all of a sudden fallen for the blandest girl in school?
So what do you guys think was the explanation behind A? One of the people that A takes over, says that it was a demonic possession.
Yeah.
So do you lean towards that kind of spiritual explanation or like aliens or something else completely?
I don't know. I don't have any theories. Do you, Brendan?
Yeah, once again, like with the whole very arbitrary nature of the parameters of the swapping,
yeah,
it feels like it'd have to be some sort of magical, mystic sort of thing. Like
yeah.
Those sort of things, like I think of like the gremlins. And you know, you're like, don't feed them after midnight.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the same sort of premise. It's this random magic thing.
I wondered, so in the film, Rhiannon's dad, I think because we watched so many of these movies, I kept waiting for it to sort of click into things that we've seen before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the movie, Rhiannon's dad has sort of had a nervous breakdown and is sort of living the aftermath of that.
Mm-hmm. And is the most interesting character to me.
Really?
The guy loses his job and then just like cracks and he's like, I'm taking you all to dinner and I'm going to hire out a theater.
The whole cinema. Yeah. But then the dad starts painting all these faces. He just got always doing all day is painting different faces of people that he's never met. So I thought they were going to tie that in and it was the dad had the same thing or the same thing had happened to him or something. And he was going to unlock the magic spell and unlock A's body so that those two could be together forever. Like, I did think that they were going to tie it up like that.
Do you know what would have been interesting? If...
what?
I don't think that would have been a better storyline. I just mean... Oh, shit.
What do you got?
If the twist at the end is that A did have a buddy all
and
along.
And it was the dad. Oh,
Lucy, don't be so great.
I know, Paul. I know. But I'm trying to preempt this creepiness.
What? It was just like A was an alien after all. And it's like this like mucus blob pile on the floor and
she like, and then Rhiannon's like, sorry, I'm busy, bye.
That should have been the ending. A uses technology to make its life possible in terms of creating some sort of continuity. So we know that A has a Reddit account that it uses to talk on message boards about body transformations.
We've seen a few of those.
Yeah.
I was about to say, which reminds me of something funny that I'm not going to talk about.
Yeah. Shout out to the people on the sex forum that we're talking about us the other day. Yes, we do Google the show.
I feel like we need to edit that out. It makes us sound really pathetic.
I don't think so.
I'll take what listeners we can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also we don't discriminate, so keep listening.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to like email us details on like what you find sexually attractive about the show.
We'll try to add it.
Just address them all to Paul, please. Dear Paul.
You're getting so many emails this
attach photos. Anyway,
Paul.
A has an Instagram account where it takes a selfie of whoever it's possessing that day and or anything interesting that it sees.
Mm.
I thought that was a bit of an interesting idea because, I mean, it's Instagram. It's public.
Yeah, but
what are these people going to think when they see
exactly,
it?
Exactly. I would freak out.
Maybe his account's private?
But I thought that they should have said that and that A would say that this. I just do this just for me so I can remember.
Yeah, but if you were doing it just for me, why would you do hashtags?
Hashtags and stuff, yeah.
Because he had like a hashtag
you
live
know what,
every
you
day
You know who
or whatever.
That bloody Instagram account is for? People that were on that forum.
Oh, that would have been a totally great movie if it started with the Instagram account and someone being like, what the fuck? Why is my picture? I don't remember taking that
yes.
photo.
Yeah.
Who are all these strangers? What's this account? That would be a sick start.
And then it could be a horror movie or something?
Yeah.
It sounds scary. Yeah. Well, I'm loving this spin-off, Brendan. Let's workshop
it is sort of a horror in a way.
Yeah.
The concept could be pretty much transparent to any genre and you could make a movie out of it.
Yeah.
I just want to say as well, you pitched this as a drama.
Mm. I would say it's a drama.
No.
It's melodrama.
Yeah.
It was pretty like, it was I would just put a it romantic. As,
I would put this in the basket of like The Notebook, The Vow, that kind of Nicholas Sparks-esque.
Mm. Yeah, which I feel like you can't say that those films are drama. They're called Nicholas Sparks movies and adjacent. Oh my God, I hate The Notebook so much.
I just want to say after that description, I had 4 hours sleep And I stayed awake through this whole film, and the cobbler, I fell asleep.
Just to put everyone into perspective, that's where Brendan's at.
That's how bad the cobbler is.
What, did you have a full night's sleep for the cobbler?
Oh, yeah, I had a good 8 hours.
I guess another question to you guys. If you were Rhiannon, could you be fucked keeping up this relationship?
Well, I was going to say, I wrote down somewhere, she kind of loses her life into it. Like, she has to keep leaving school to go and bail A out of whatever situation they're in. And
yeah, like, it started really mimicking, like, those, like, controlling boyfriends who, like, you know, cut off all the friendships and stuff like that. Like, that's not what he was intentionally doing, but that's definitely what was happening. Like, she was always caught up in his dramas, and it just affected all her friendships.
Yeah, her friendships suffered, and there's no future in that relationship.
I mean, it's hard enough being with someone that's in their own body every day and, like, scheduling and, you know, imagine, like, that would be the most frustrating fucking situation.
But she liked it at the start because there's all this mystery and all this.
I would be excited if I met someone like that. And I think, like,
for 2 weeks it would be fun, and then it would be like, I just want to come watch a movie and, like, know that you're going to come here and that I'm not going to have to go and pick you up, or that maybe you might be blind today or getting a lung transplant or...
See, I think Rhiannon was just so...
Yeah, Rhiannon.
Rhiannon was so bland that she was so excited that this, like, interesting thing was happening to her, and that A was interested in her, that made her feel special.
And I do, it was definitely a have your cake and eat it too thing. It's like she did have a million different boyfriends, even though it was the same person. You could tell that she was excited by that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I guess there is that appeal of it, that you get a new dick every day.
It is not appealing.
Every second day.
You don't find that concept appealing, Lucy?
Oh, just all these different dicks coming at me?
Just so you know, that at least did like a hand motion that they're all slapping her in the face.
Yeah.
Like, does he get tested every day as well before they get down?
Well, that's it, right? Because you don't know whose life you're going into.
But he does know, like he said, as the day goes on, he knows everything about the person by the end of the day.
But then at the same time,
they had an STD.
He doesn't remember people. He's like, oh, yeah, of course I know.
Yeah, at the beginning of the day. But by the end of the day, he knows what's going on.
And by then, he's like...
He's already fucked like 10 people.
Oh, my
God.
Finds a letter. Hepatitis.
My mind immediately went to just the danger that they could have been in every day. Like, imagine if you woke up and you had an abusive parent. I thought that they would maybe dabble in that more.
Yeah.
I think because I'm afraid of everything, my mind was like really ready for it to
well,
be.
Like, yeah, Alexander's mother, I was thinking that was going to be this really like controlling mother. Because Alexander is supposed to be the perfect guy. And when he's in his body, he's like, oh, this guy's so amazing and creative. And I was thinking the mother was going to be this super domineering, especially when she grabbed his face and pulled him in.
It's like, it was
you know how much
weird.
We did for you for this
me
birthday?
And your aunties have been cooking all day. It's like, but there's like 5 people there. Why would it have been chill? It's just a dinner, bitch.
He should have said that.
And also,
God, you're ruining my life.
Why didn't he know that it was his own that body's birthday, if he can tap into the
I don't think we were supposed to think about that too hard.
Well, producers, writers, I'm putting it to you.
I've got too many questions for that to be an answer. Like, do you think when he woke up, he had got the amount of sleep he would have got from when he went to sleep, or the body that he went to sleep in?
He always seemed quite refreshed in the mornings.
Yeah, that would be the worst, I think. You're like, ah, I'm just so stuffed from the day. I'm going to bed at 9:30. And then you wake up in the body of someone who's just raged all night.
Yeah, interesting. They always woke up alone as well. It's like, if this had been about people that were maybe 10 years older, there would be the chance that, because, you know, all these kids are in high school, so chances are they're not having that many sleepovers that their parents know about anyway. You know, if it was, so how old are they? 16. If it was a 26-year-old, it could have been every morning waking up and having to look at the person next to you and having to, like, be the character of that body straight away. And it would have been harder to play that part, I guess, because you haven't tapped into who that person is yet or got your bearings or anything.
Another spin-off idea is if A woke up and had like a dead body next to him and has to work out how to.
Yeah, totally. I deal would with watch that day. Movie. That's like yeah. some Memento shit. Love it.
And that's the body he was in the day before.
Hiya. Checks the Instagram account. Yeah. yeah. This movie writes itself.
At one point, I thought that's where this film was going to go.
Is like that, a dark place.
Well, no, that wakes up in a body that was going to die that day and realizes that was going to be its last
his death,
day.
Yeah.
Because being kind of Nicholas Sparks-esque, that's where one of those movies would definitely go.
But who, what is the audience for these movies? I hate The Notebook. I hate The
I
Bell.
Love I The Notebook.
Yuck, I hate it.
Cry every time.
Yuck. Do you know, this guy invited me over to his house to watch it when I was, how old were when it came out, how old?
Yuck.
Yeah, and it was such a ploy. He's like, you're going to love this movie. It's going to make you love me. And I'm just like, I fucking hate you and I hate this movie and I want to go home. Do you know why boys like that movie so much? Paul not included. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the girl fucks up and she has to like win him back. It's always the other way around.
So you're saying it's a real like progressive movie?
No, I'm saying it's guys being dickheads being like, yeah, that girl should beg for me back. I've got a real problem with that movie. Sorry, Gosling. I'm out.
I know a guy who his movie is Stardust, and apparently that is like bang. It's just what's the word?
Like a pussy magnet.
Yeah. It's like catnip.
What's that? Is that a Stardust movie with Claire Danes?
Yeah, apparently he swears by it. Like, I don't know what it is.
Secret's out. We're on to you. If you go on a date and the guy invites you over to watch Stardust, run.
That's such a strange
yeah. choice. Just have a conversation with a woman. Like,
or put Stardust on and let that do the work.
That Notebook thing, though. Oh, that's such a like horrible repressed memory for me. Oh, ugh.
So you would put this above The Notebook then?
Yes, I would rather watch this 10 times than watch The Notebook once.
Okay, so you had an amazing day with your gorgeous, incredible girlfriend. And to you, that sucks.
I'm sorry, who is this and what is her deal?
Who are you? Why are you bitching and moaning about the only good thing in your life?
Amy, chill, it's fine.
Okay, great talk, gotta go. Reed, don't forget about Steve's party on Saturday.
I'm sorry, I'm just allergic to unappreciative dicks.
That's not who he is.
I was just thinking about, like, imagine if that's how you grew up. I feel like he's supposed to be the super nice guy and he's always thoughtful of the person that he's in. Mm. Whereas I feel like you'd be totally pathological. You'd just...
Yeah.
You'd be someone who has no concept of tomorrow and therefore... And also
no
relationships. And
yeah.
yeah you, one of my things was the fact that he is... He's never in the same body and he's never had, like, a family structure and feel like he'd be, like, severely neglected psychologically and also emotionally and also...
It's a very lonely existence.
Yeah. I think he'd be a very stunted...
For sure.
Crazy
That's
being.
The real film. That yeah, is yeah. what it would be
Once
like.
Again, my horror film.
Yeah. And they would be having sex with everyone all the time. Like,
yeah, I feel like they would just be an animal. Like,
completely.
How often do you think A masturbate?
Sometimes I'm just like, why teenager. Do we do this podcast?
For questions like this. Well, he's a teenager, so what's that? 3-4 times a day.
Well, you know, you've got to test the merchandise. Every day has got new stuff to work out.
Play with.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the whatever chemicals are running through that body would be the gauge on how, you know, what mood he's in. The thing that annoyed me a lot was when he's in the body of Rhiannon.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about that happened. We haven't talked about that happened yet.
A says, by the way, I did your homework for a week. You know, I'm really smart.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
You never grew up learning your ABCs more. You know, every lesson you started, you never got to finish. So I want to see that homework. And it's just like a crayon drawing of a house.
That's a good one.
Mm. Michael!
Shit!
Hey, over here!
Michael, what are you doing? Get back here!
Okay. Slow down!
Michael,
don't stop!
I can't hear you!
Shit! Do stop!
What?
Stop! Stop!
Oh, shit! Shit! Oh, Michael!
Got it!
Oh, God! Jolene's gonna kill me!
Michael! Get back here! Go, go, go!
Okay.
What have you done with my son?
So, terrible idea. That guy's like, I can't go to Hawaii because I'm going to disappear and I need to be near Rhiannon.
Mm-hmm.
Why not pretend that you're violently ill and can't get on the plane? Mm. That kid ran away from home and his mum is like running after him and sees him get in a car with a random person. Like, you have brought trauma into that woman's life forever.
Once she'll again, be like, start the movie there.
She'll that be, like, so she'll be cool. like, my child has been kidnapped. Like, imagine what you would think. It was just so preposterous. Like, you know, if you have gastro, you're not allowed to get on a plane for the fear that everyone will get it and it will turn into like a vomit fueled jet engine in the sky. Just say that you felt sick and that you had to go the next day.
Nah, people are generally horrible. They would just go on the plane.
That mother seemed like a fucking bitch.
Yeah, so she did be like, seem like a bitch. Yeah, but also she thought her child got kidnapped. Wait. It was messed up.
How did she come across like a bitch?
I'm just making assumptions.
I totally went with you. Yeah, I'm you like, wait,
yeah.
What?
I was like, wait, what? So, guys, did you enjoy the ending?
The last thing I wrote on my page was, that better not be the end. That's my last note.
I'm actually shocked at your reactions and everyone online, because when I was researching the episode, so many people were writing, hated the ending. I can't believe it was a sad ending. I only like movies with happy endings, so I didn't like this. I didn't see it as a sad ending. Like, it was so hopeful, and she ended up with a cute guy. got to go to New York and have
sparkler
adventures.
Sparkler in the park. Yeah.
Sparklers in the park.
And we all know how much you love New York.
Hashtag, what was it? Leave traces.
Yeah.
Hashtag make marks.
Such like a teenager.
I didn't see it as a sad ending. Like,
I mean,
and yeah, she learned how to put her own hair behind her ear.
Do you know, that's so funny. I wrote, ladies and gentlemen, I wrote in my notes, place your bets how long before he does the hair thing again. Because, you know, that's how she's sort of like, someone did that to me yesterday and the day before. What?
Yeah,
only
really
one person
you.
In the world could do that. Yeah, but then I wrote, less than 2 minutes.
A was fixated.
It was such a setup. Yeah.
Everybody, it's like, I just need to get that hair out of their fucking ear.
A and Rhiannon's dates were so cringeworthy to watch. They really wanted to play up like their playful fun vibe, but everything they did just seemed so contrived. Lighting sparklers up on a football field and running around in circles, who does that?
But doing that balloon that bubble thing looked really fun.
Bubble thing?
Oh, yeah. So they got the giant bubble thing and then they were shooting it with water guns. That looks fun. I would go and do that in your backyard if you had all that stuff right now.
Yeah,
for
about like 10 minutes, and then it's like, all right, so you want to watch a movie?
We're not going to do it for 2 hours. Yeah.
Want to watch Stardust?
Yeah. It's stuff that looks good in montages of dates.
Yeah.
But if you actually tried to center a whole date around lighting sparklers and making bubbles, it would get old very quickly. And then the other day when like they went to the beach and he buried her up to her waist and made
that
like
was
a
dumb.
Mermaid
yeah.
tail out of the sand.
Mm. Like, also, this the character of Justin, such a shitty boyfriend. Again, very triggered from high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a real like revelation of him because my first initial thoughts, this is a confident kid. Mm. I saw like he had scrunched up tissues and hand lotion right on his bedside. No hiding that away.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the opening shot of the movie.
The opening shot.
I did not remember that. And also, I guess my mind isn't just geared towards knowing what that is.
And I was
like,
disgusting. This guy's got confidence. Hey, Mom. Yeah, just had a good chat. But then you come to realize he's also got like some real pathological issues.
Did feel sorry for him to begin with after the day that he was possessed by A and he couldn't
remember anything.
And she was kind of getting shitty at him because he didn't remember the things that happened when he was possessed. I'm like, he's got a point. He didn't remember it. Like,
but then, I've lost the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then like, as it went on, he just got douchier and douchier.
Yeah.
And then when A like went into the body of the churchy kid and told Justin that he was gay, but then he still got upset about it. And he's like, I don't care that he's gay. He needs to stay away from my girl.
He needs to learn. You just
get out of here, Justin, with your two diamond earrings when you're 16 years old. Fucking calm down.
Yeah. What are you, Peter? Andre or something.
I have to say that I was pretty impressed with that actor because he was good. The last thing we saw him in was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, that is who it is.
And he
he the nerd?
Yeah, he was the nerd in that.
And he was a cool kid in this. Yeah.
What did you guys think of the vision of the future that we got in one brief scene where A's kind of talking about what their future would be if they stayed together? And then you see like a shot of her on some like futuristic computer. I thought that was a really strange thing to do.
I hate when they do future computers. I always hate it, which is why Maniac loved all the computers in that.
Good. Because what we want, like what we've been striving for is 50% opacity on all our screens so that we can see what's behind them.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. It's Minority Report and all that crap.
Yeah. And also, I just hate flash forwards where they use the same actor. How old do you think that girl is? 17?
I think she's like 19, 20 in real life.
But they made her look 45 and by the end of that little montage. I'm like, looked so stupid. It was really dumb.
Yeah, I don't understand why they had to visualize that scene. He could have just been saying it.
Yeah.
It was a long monologue. I don't think in real life that would feel like, you know, it'd be like,
I get it. All right.
Stop. Got it.
But all very valid points. And I guess why A was so noble, because they look forward and were like, you know, if we had a kid, would the kid be like me? And who would you tell, like, your family or friends who the father of that child was? Or
like, I like the concept of this film, and I like the questions that the relationship between them brought up, but I can't say this is a romance that I was rooting for the main couple.
Yeah.
And usually for me, that's a kiss of death with a romance or a romantic comedy. Like if it's a successful romance, you should want with all your heart for those two people to get together at the end. But this one, there was just so many roadblocks in the way that you're like, no, they shouldn't be together. It's kind of sad that they can't be, but really, it's not worth the effort.
You know this song? How did I not know
you
that?
Watch a plane flying across the blue sky. This is the day your life will surely change.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, so now it's time for Hot or Not. As we know, Lucy Thomas won our theme song competition.
Amazing room, yeah.
So
I was the only one that didn't freestyle it, so I don't really feel like it was much of a competition.
So we're going to try each having a turn at Lucy's theme song. So this week I'm lucky enough to be the singer, so apologies in advance. But here we go. Is she a toot or a boot? Is he ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Everybody is beautiful in their own way.
Very good.
Yeah.
Your turn next week, Brendan.
I'm ready.
All right. So I feel like this film is a nightmare for Hot or Not, because the whole concept of the film is like the anti-Hot or Not.
Yeah. Yes.
The whole point of the film is that you shouldn't judge people by their appearance.
Yeah.
So let's judge these people by their appearance. I guess the thing is, they're all quite young in this film.
They
so
are.
I think we're going at our Freaky Friday 2018
friend or foe
rather than Hot or Not.
Cool.
So,
but there were a few adults. But I'm just interested in Lucy's opinion on the dad.
He's in your age range.
I thought he was
50 or up.
I thought he was cute.
Even with like the balding sort of, I've got plugs.
What do you have against balding people, Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hair falls out. That's just the way it is. But you can't. Somebody doesn't become instantly.
There's a bunch of like bald men swooning right now. They're just like.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, you know, hair falls out, whatever. But, you know, he was, the dad was, like, cloaked in sadness and just something about him wanted to, I wanted to, like, be like, oh, it's all right. But he was a handsome man, I thought, even in his dressing gown.
All right, so another adult character was her sister, played by Debbie Ryan, who some people might know from the new Netflix series Insatiable.
Okay, well, I'm not doing Hot or Not on her, but I thought she seemed like a bitch. She had bad hair extensions and she was unkind to her sister, so... That's a boot from me.
Yeah, she's attractive. Whatever. Let's move on.
Oh, there you go.
And I liked her character. And I liked the fact that she, like, just...
Would end every sentence with, your balls.
Your balls. I like that...
Don't start doing that, by the way, Paul.
I don't think there's any risk of me doing that. The main character, Rhiannon, played by Mgouri Rice, who's Australian.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. What did we think of her? She's actually, she is the age of her character in real life. Would we be friends with Rhiannon if you went to school with her?
I think so.
I don't hate her, but like, I was just trying to figure out why A was so mesmerized by this girl. Like, it's not like we saw like these moments where she was just the kindest, most, like, selfless person. She was just walked into her.
But she likes that song.
But he was like into her as soon as he saw her. He's like brushing her hair out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised that she was Australian, so she does a very convincing American accent.
Yeah.
And I also did write down that it would have been a really weird role to play because she has to keep, you know, like every scene is she's having this ongoing relationship with someone, but the other actor is always a different person.
Yeah.
So that would have been a hard thing to, you know,
pull off.
Yeah,
I think she did a really
good
job
on that one.
Yeah, I think she was good in the role, but is probably a little bit underwritten.
Yeah. So there wasn't a lot of depth there. I agree with Brendan.
Yeah, like outside of that relationship, funny? I don't know who she is.
Yeah, totally.
Except her dad is having some issues. That's it.
So Justice Smith as Justin, friend or foe?
Foe. He, like I said, I got all these red flag feelings of high school. Just like, that's an unsafe person to give your heart to.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think we've all said we don't like him.
And also, like, smoking in the car park at school. Give me a break. Like, fucking just buy a motorcycle and get some sunglasses. Like, are you a bad boy? We understand.
I just feel it's like it's 2018. How many kids are smoking anyway?
Yeah, I don't feel like...
Especially like
you were
one who's
today.
Supposed to be like the...
Cool kid.
Yeah, the cool quarterback, like athlete.
I think you would be like, you're a nub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you should be dieting. You should be eating your whole food
vegan.
And shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Amanda Akuri, who played Rebecca, which was Rhiannon's best friend. I have to say, I loved every outfit she wore.
She did have cool clothes.
And I loved the like crocheted blue top.
With the rainbow?
With the rainbow yeah, on that was it. Sick. And the blue short shorts. Like, I couldn't imagine a girl actually wearing that to school. But yeah, it was a good outfit. And I don't know, she just seemed like
so nice based person. On that outfit you'd be friends with her.
But there was a really bad scene with her. So she would totally be my friend for sure. Mm-hmm. But there was a really bad scene with her where Rhiannon was sort of like, sorry, I've been a bad friend. It's like that thing we see this a lot in these movies and they're like, okay, that's fine, no worries. Like,
well, see ya.
It's like the director was like, oh shit, we probably need to tie that up, let's just do something really quickly.
Yeah,
it's just like not thought out, not there's no complexity to that. She's just like, okay, I need to go now, bye.
Which
I felt that was sad.
Yeah, which read more like, my friend is reaching out to me and I'm like, oh, that's cool,
yeah,
bye.
I mean, he's my type.
Ah, okay. And, what's your type?
Tall, slim, nice shoulders. What? What's wrong with nice shoulders?
No, nothing. I guess I'm just more of a butt guy myself.
Owen Teague, who played Alexander, the guy that she ended up being with for multiple days.
Friend.
I don't really feel like I got to know him much. He seemed nice enough. Like, I would not be a foe.
I'm going to say friend. Mm. And I'm also going to say hot because he's 20 in real life and I can say it.
He had like a nice energy, I thought. He was sort of like this lanky.
Yeah, like I said after the film, it's like, you should be able to figure. I like him. He's got charismatic qualities.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning of the film, A asks Rhiannon what her type is. And she says, tall, slim, and nice shoulders.
Is that your type?
Yeah, you and me, girl.
I'm more into forearms myself.
Forearms?
Yeah, that part of a guy.
Okay.
What?
Like, to be, like, really big?
No, just like...
So, like, Popeye.
A man can have nice forearms.
So, when you watched Robin Williams play Popeye, were you just like, ooh?
They don't have to be big. They just have to be nice. Maybe a sneaky tattoo there could be a cool
Popeye,
thing.
You keep explaining Popeye. What?
Okay, Popeye hot or not?
Like, hot, obviously hot.
What about friend or foe of Nathan, the kooky Christian?
Yeah, Nathan.
I feel like he was borderline, needed some sort of intervention and had sort of very religious parents and they weren't sort of addressing that he had sort of cognitive behavioral issues.
Yeah, they placed him in a sort of a very homeschooling feeling environment.
And just like, you know, religion will help our kid not be a total weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, he seemed like he was in trouble.
Yeah, but like, to be fair, he was brought up in a religious household and then he had this experience that really, if you think about it, is possession. So it's pretty reasonable that he made that connection and ended up, you know, turning to his church for solace.
Yeah.
He like was literally possessed.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was all right. He was playing Catan. I wanted to play Catan with them, so I would have been friends with
your mate, Brendan. I feel like his parents would have taken him to an exorcist for what he was saying. Like, I just feel like he was in an unsafe environment.
All right, another spin-off idea.
The exorcism of Nathan.
they do an exorcism on Nathan, and then whatever body that A is in at that time just starts, like, bugging out and, like... flies towards Nathan's like,
I just felt like he just seemed like he was troubled.
And that's why you don't want to be friends with him.
Maybe I would be his friend to keep an eye on him because I was scared for him.
So now it's time for our review segment where we've found reviews from all over the internet to see what other people think of the film. Now, this film got 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it wasn't completely slammed. It's a fresh. What did the general public think? Now, it seems very split in the middle when I was looking. Some people are like, this movie changed my life.
Whoa.
Ooh, I'm now a polyamorous being.
I self-identify as a polyamorous entity. But...
yeah. And other people are like, this is complete trash. It seems like...
I think both are right.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
I think a lot of people... are really upset at this film for not being gay enough. So, and then you get the other side that are upset for it being too gay. So this film managed to upset everyone in a way.
That's what you get for being middle of the road.
We shouldn't have done hot or not. We should have done gay or not gay enough. Too gay or whatever.
So this one's from Amazon. P. Dyer. 2 stars. What a waste of time and money. Totally a B-rated movie. The acting was horrible. It also gives the impression it's okay for teenagers to have sex. Seriously, don't waste your time.
Like, whether you like it or not, P. Dyer, they're doing it.
Yeah, imagine, like, some teenagers, like, watching this film. What? I can have sex.
Oh, my God.
There wasn't even that much sex in it.
And I mean, you know, it was always just implied as well. Yeah. I loved when that guy goes, oh, have you got your period? You know, you only had it 1 week ago or whatever. And she's like, yeah, well, congratulations. You're not a father or whatever.
Yeah.
I felt
great joke. No, because like, yeah, I wrote that down because I feel like that line is so used as a punchline. But I really liked the turnaround. Like, I laughed when she said that. Like, I was like, that's a good comeback.
Do me a favor. And don't talk to me again today. Are you on your period already? It's been like a week and a half.
Oh, congratulations, you're not a father.
All right, this one's from Helen W. 2 stars. I felt like this movie was pushing an agenda. I felt like this movie was pushing an agenda. No matter what sex you are, you can still love the same sex. I'm fine with different race, but I believe in procreation. And it's unfortunate that Hollywood pushes something that can't create a new life.
Wait, so she said, I'm fine with different races, but... Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How do you write a sentence like that?
You might be surprised to know I'm against segregation, but...
My God.
Fuck you, Helen W.
Whoa.
You're getting a knot from the Swapcast, you fucking bigot.
Yeah.
This one's from Tornado on Amazon, who gave it 3 stars. I don't even remember watching it.
He must have not been in his body
at
the time.
Exactly.
This one's from Fake Shemp on Letterboxd, who says, well, that was rapey. My wife wanted to watch it, but I took more notice of it than her because she was too busy burning her face off trying to eat her Chinese. There were tears down her cheeks and everything with the utter spiciness.
1 star.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
Is he rating the Chinese food or the movie?
What?
And it was hashtagged with shit my wife made me watch. But it's interesting. A few people have brought up the
spiciness.
The rapiness and the consent part of this
situation. Did think about that as well, because it's like when Rhiannon and A sleep together, which is happens in multiple bodies, does it? It's like, what if that was that person's first time?
Yeah.
And that's really unethical.
It could be on either way, like when A is having sex with somebody in that body, they don't know they're having sex with A.
Yeah.
And then in the other respect as well, like either way, like, it's like a minefield.
Oh, right, okay, from the other person. Yeah,
like
right.
The thing is, like, A's in a tough spot. Like, I'm just saying, like, if this being existed, that's a hard place to be in, like, like making those decisions, especially if you don't actually have a body and understand that. Like,
yeah,
that.
It would be hard for A to understand what it's like to have a body that's yours and will always be yours.
Because he would feel probably like those bodies are his, you know?
I quite enjoyed when he was telling, or A was telling their origin story, and it was about, like, growing up, I didn't know that I was different to anyone else, but then when people would talk about tomorrow, like we would all be together. Yeah. And I was like, but you know, tomorrow we'll all be different people. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
All right. This one's from Sid on Letterboxd. He gave it 1.5 stars and says, oh my God, imagine if A would have woken up in her sister.
Oh no.
I have another movie idea. It's called Chances Are.
Right?
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah, that is what Chances Are is. That's nuts that movie was real.
It's funny how, like, incest adjacent all these body swap films are. It's a bit worrying. All right, so now it's our time for tenuous recommendations. This is the segment where we recommend other pieces of media that are tenuously related to the film we just watched. It could be a shared director, actor, theme, producer, anything. So this week, let's start us off, Brendan.
All right, so my tenuous link today is connected to Jacob Batalon, who was, you know...
No!
So the gentleman she meets in the diner, the rather bigger
stocky guy.
Stocky guy, who's also bald, but I don't hold that against him. So he was in a little movie called Spider-Man Homecoming.
I knew I recognized him.
Wow, you went into the like the depths of the cast list. I don't go down that far.
Yes, I did. But like the movie, that's not where I'm stopping. This isn't my tenuous link yet. See, also in that film was another body. His name was Michael Keaton.
Keaton.
Michael Keaton was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I'm not
going
to be able to edit this properly. Start again.
Leave it in. I don't care. All right. So Michael Keaton was in American Assassin. but that's not where my tenuous link is.
I don't understand what's happening. Like, I don't actually understand what.
Are you getting to Kevin Bacon?
So are you doing cine links? Sorry? Yeah. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's doing a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Much like A, I'm jumping through characters.
This is some Inception bullshit. Yeah, okay.
But you know who was an American assassin? It was David Suchet. And he...
Who?
Was...
David Suchet.
And he was in a little film.
Why can't you say names properly today?
You're ruining my momentum. He was in a little film called Sabotage! Exclamation point. But that's not my tenuous.
Oh, my God.
Which brings me to Nacho Vigalondo, who was the writer of Paul, Colossal, and Time Crimes, which are both fantastic films. But that's not my tenuous link.
Okay, and what?
My tenuous link, though, is a series of albums called You By Me, which is by an artist called Tokay. And the concept of the albums is he finds artists he really likes and appreciates, and he does 5 of their songs, and they in turn do 5 of his songs.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they're really good, and I highly recommend those albums.
If you asked me to repeat back your link, I couldn't do it.
I don't understand what was the last step.
I don't know how.
What?
I
what was the last step? Oh, nothing. I just wanted to take you down a rabbit hole.
So it's not real.
No, it's real. He was just asking how's that connected to
everything else?
To time crimes.
But
and
what is it? How is it connected to this?
Because he's swapping characters with the artist.
Plus you're a dickhead.
And he's doing it across multiple artists.
You've outdone yourself, Brendan.
Congratulations on the worst tenuous recommendation since the show's inception. Good, well done.
Thank you. I salute you.
Fuck. Lucy?
But this is the first time I've not done an actor or director or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we actually talked about it when we were talking about the film, but... This Is The Day, which is that song by the, whatever.
Yeah.
Is a sort of reoccurring theme. It's like a few times used to be like, we're back together. We know who we are, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do, I think I know yours.
Yes.
Empire Records?
Yes! It is! Which is a classic and everybody's seen it, but I just love this movie. It's such a moment in time.
Do you think younger generations are watching it still? I feel like it was our time.
Still a cult hit.
It is?
Yeah.
That's good.
So I know I'm not like blowing anybody's mind. Like everybody's heard of this film.
Nah, there's people out there, I reckon, who need to watch
it. The song appears at the end. Or even just revisit it, you know. The song is in the end and everyone's dancing together.
The same song?
Yeah. This Is The Day. Huh. And as soon as it came on, like I was a bit lost. I didn't really know what my link was going to be. And as soon as it came on, I thought of Empire Records straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows. It's about a bunch of young adults that work in a record store. And it's got, you know, a babe in Liv Tyler and Renee Zellweger and that girl from The Craft whose name I can't remember. And Lapalia. And it's got so many great musical moments in it. So not just a great soundtrack, but the way the music is in that film.
Incorporated in the film, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like when they have that listening booth there and you can listen to records and someone's listening to Dire Straits.
Yeah.
And she's like doing ballet and then Ethan Embry goes up and they kind of make out. And then there's all the stuff with the Rex Manning songs and...
Say no more.
And Liv Tyler loses her shit in one part to a Cranberry song. That's like this really angry... Yeah, I just love that. And also... When I was watching it when I was younger, I was like, I can't wait to be 19 and I'm going to get a cool job and I'm going to wear combat boots and I'm going to have boobs. Like, you know what I mean? I just was
totally.
And wishes, Brendan's wish was granted.
Womp, womp.
I think, you know, the first time I saw it, I was 12 years old, maybe 11 years old. My friend and I in primary school used to hire it all the time. Yeah, I just loved that movie. And also a strange link in my head is that one of the characters from that movie, a guy that works in the record store whose name I should have looked up, looks heaps like the Alexander guy. Go with me on this. We'll do a side-by-side thing on the
totally does.
Yeah.
The guy with the mohawk.
The dark hair. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're like splitting image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my mind anyway. Like, I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I agree.
So we should do a side by side.
We'll put that on the social. Instagram, yeah.
So there's another little thing. And also, I think that film is what led me to get my job. I worked at an art house video store and it was like my iteration of that. It was like, we thought we were so cool that we knew more than everyone else. And every day at work was a party. You know, we were always there even if we weren't working. And
yeah,
that's mine.
So my link is through the writer of the novel, David Levithan. So he's done a few young adult novels and which were also adapted into movies. The first one was Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. And the other one, which I'll be recommending today, is Naomi and Eli's No Kiss List. Have either of you guys watched this?
No, I've never heard of it.
I think I have, yeah.
So it's a kind of a romantic teen film starring Victoria Justice and Pearson Foad. And it's about two friends in New York. They've been friends since they were kids. The guy is gay and she's her best friend. And their lives become complicated when they both fall in love with the same guy.
Mm.
So it's a nice kind of teen film with queer themes.
Is the guy bisexual?
I think they don't know.
Okay.
They don't know which way he leads, so they're both trying to get they're both trying to get him, but neither of them know which way he's gonna
go. Yeah.
It's cute and a very breezy film. It's on Netflix, I'm pretty sure, in like every country. Definitely, if you're looking for that kind of breezy Sunday watch when you're hungover or whatever, it's an easy one to watch. Final thoughts on Every Day. Would you recommend our listeners watch it?
I would, yes.
Yeah, I think I would say give it a shot if you're interested. I think there's, like we've discussed here in detail, like there's some really interesting ideas in it. So worth a watch.
Yeah, I would add that.
Watch it with your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Or find some and watch it with them.
Yeah. So next episode, you guys have any inkling of what we'll be watching?
No.
But I feel like we need some garbage to...
Like a real trashy one.
Yeah, to cleanse our palate of all these interesting quality films.
So with something that has Pauly Shore in it, interest you at all?
Oh my God, you found a Pauly Shore body swap?
He's not the swapper, but he is in it. This was actually, we mentioned last episode, one of our listeners emailed us and requested we do it. So I thought, let's get on. 18 again.
Oh yeah. Whoops.
So from 1988, starring George Burns and Charlie Scadder. And the plot of that one is, by means of an accident, the soul of David and his swinging grandfather get swapped. While the grandfather's body is still in a coma, he enjoys having a young body again and repairs some facts in David's life.
Ooh, sounds like some problematic stuff.
Wait, so is there a movie called 17 Again?
Yeah, 17 Again is a Zac Efron one.
And 18 Again.
Yeah. Oh. I think we were due for some like 80s.
Yeah.
80s shenanigans again. So I'm looking forward to it.
I was disappointed because I was keen on the Corey Feldman one, but Pauly Shore will give me plenty for my tenuous links.
Yeah. Nice. Biodome.
You can ask if you want to. Yeah. Cool.
Trial and error, man. That was the... No, I'm just joking. That was trash. It's just a terrible Pauly Shore film.
So, Brendan, if our listeners want to find us on the interwebs, where are they looking?
Well, Paul... If you go to our website, we have all the links to all our social medias. If you're on your phone right now, you can check us out by going to our Twitter handle, which is @theswapcast with an underscore in between the and swapcast.
Yeah.
You can also go to our Instagram, which is theswapcastpodcast. Same with our Facebook. That is also theswapcastpodcast.
How convenient.
Yeah, I thought so. Or if you just want to give us a good old fashion handwritten letter on a computer, you can go to the Swapcast podcast.
Wait,
at
a handwritten letter on the computer.
We can scan it in.
We use your fingers to write it.
That's true. It's handwritten.
Yeah. You can go to the swapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And those are all places we're at. And you should be at too.
Yeah. And don't forget our Letterboxd as well, which you can get a link to on our website. And there we have all our tenuous recommendations, plus a list of all the episodes we've done so far. If you ever like browsing Netflix and you want to know what to watch next.
Mm.
And yeah, don't forget to go on iTunes and rate and review us. It's the easiest way for us to get new listeners and get our names out
and
there.
And eventually watch Face Off.
Yeah, yeah. 100 reviews and we will do Face Off. So get reviewing. All right. So that's it for another episode of the Swapcast. Until next time, I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi.
Bye. Swapcast is hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, recorded at Browntown Studios.